Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Tell of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. Others will trust Him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Give as was given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Well, amen. That'll open up your lungs, huh? If you needed to get some deep breaths, that'll do it for you. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful we can be here tonight. I ask that you would bless the service. Meet with us, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, and we're going to sing Take Time to Be Holy. Take time to be holy, speak oft with the Lord. Abide Him in all ways and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide, and run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in His word. Well, amen. Well, it's a good song. All right, there's only one problem I have with that song. Anybody know what it is? I'm telling you. All right. But it's a great song. All right. It's in 6/8 time. Anyway, yeah, amen. All right, looking around, is anyone, we have anybody first-time visitors? I didn't see any, but I don't want to miss anybody. Anybody first time? All right, Okay, a number of things to pray for. We mentioned some of this morning, Brother Nichols and his wife. Good to see him this morning. To do this week, we got Wednesday night service at 7:30, and then we have a visitation on Thursday at 6:45. Saturday, we got bus at 9:30, and then we have soul winning at 10:45. We're over in the Horal area. We had one saved yesterday, so that's a blessing. And we've had about three over the last month or so, so that's a good thing. Good thing to have rewards for your labor and get some folks saved. So that's a blessing. All right, let's all stand, and we're going to sing Constantly Abiding.
There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come here to stay. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind, I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. This treasure I have in a temple of clay, while here on his I roam. But he's coming to take me some glorious day over there to my heavenly home. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind, I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine.
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the services, bless the offering, bless the gift and the giver. Thank you for sending visitors our way this morning. And hear about the souls getting saved also. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And if you could tell, her timing was great. She did really well. It's sometimes hard to get all them notes in at the right time, so she did really, really well. Glad to hear that and glad to see that. All right, Like a River Glorious.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace over all.
You're singing? Amen.
Perfect and in groweth deeper all the way.
Amen.
Deeper all the way, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest.
So how many listened to me sing the wrong line there? See, I didn't die. So if you sing the wrong line, or you sing out of turn, or you sing the wrong word, it'll be all right. Okay, second verse. Here we go.
Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon a dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring it seems before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
All right, Daniel chapter 12 tonight. How many of you, if you can remember, were here the last time I preached on Sunday night? It's been probably a month and a half ago. Well, good, I can preach the same thing over again. Well, whether you were here or not, or whether you remember or not, the last time I told you that I was going to start on Sunday night preaching on the prophetic theme of the Bible, the doctrine of the last things, they call it eschatology. I started something that Sunday night that I planned to finish. I don't know if I will or not. I've got a lot of stuff. I may try to finish, or I may not. Depends on how far along I get. But probably the main thing that we'll do tonight is I'll give you the points and just read scripture mainly, because most of these things I'm going to deal with later on. what I'm dealing with now, I'm just trying to give you a chronology of the way things will happen, at least the way it seems to me they're set forth in the Bible, the way that will happen. And now, Dr. Joe Boyd, who was a great prophetic scholar himself, told me years ago that when it comes to Bible prophecy, there are no graduate students. And I've found that to be true. And the older I get, the less sure of some things I've become. Especially when it comes to the order in which they... So if the Lord does something different than what I say, you know, I'll be all right. He doesn't always check with me before he does things, you know. And so Daniel chapter 12, and look at verse 8. Daniel said, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And so I'm going to either finish or get a little further along than I got the last time in speaking to you on a chronology of future events. Now, I put a little mark where I think I stopped, and I think I dealt with four things or gave you four points the last time. I'll mention them. We won't even turn to the scriptures, but I'll just mention them, and then I'll start with number five, and we'll look at some scripture in connection with that and the rest of it. So a chronology of future events. Now, Lord, I want to do a good job tonight. I hope you'll help me. I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, and I pray that that you might help us to have the attitude that we ought to have in looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus. Now help me, I pray, tonight to be a blessing to your people. If there happens to be somebody with us who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll draw them to the Lord Jesus tonight, and that they'll come to him and trust him and be saved. But especially, I want to be a blessing to your people. Help me now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And so then, as we continue tonight, we'll be dealing with the doctrines of the last things. Prophecy is the focus of this series of studies. And in this study, we will seek to get an overall picture of what the future holds according to the Bible. And we'll deal with these matters in future studies, but in this study, I just want to try to give a chronological outline of future prophetic events. The first thing, the thing that we're looking for right now, is the event that we call the rapture. And now, again, I won't even turn to scriptures. I gave you scriptures the last time, and I'll deal with this by itself later. But that was the first thing, and that's what we're looking for right now. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that has to happen before the rapture. It could happen in the next 5 minutes, or it may not happen for another 100 years. I don't know when it's going to happen, nor do you, nor does that guy you listen to on the radio or watch on the TV. Nobody knows. In fact, while Jesus was on earth, even he didn't know when his return was going to be. He said in Mark chapter 13. He knows now that he's in his glorified body and so forth. But while he was here on earth, when he had laid aside some of his divine prerogatives so that he could function as a man while on earth, he had laid aside that aspect of his omniscience, which included when he would return. He said, while he was here on earth, no one knows when he's going to return. No angel knows, neither the Son, he said, but the Father. And so if Jesus didn't know while he was here on earth when he was going to return, I very seriously doubt that you know anybody who knows. You may know some people who think they know, but they don't. So, the rapture. Secondly, after the rapture, and we mentioned three things together as number two because they all take place at the same time, only in different locations. The tribulation period will take place on earth during the 7 years after the rapture. The judgment seat for Christians will take place in heaven and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then number three, the revelation, or some call it the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture is the first phase of the second coming of Christ. The revelation is the second phase of his second coming. It will occur at the end of the tribulation, 7 years after the rapture. And this is when Jesus comes back on the white horse, leading the armies of heaven with him, and comes back to set up his kingdom here on earth, fights the battle of Armageddon, throws down the kingdom of the Antichrist, and will set up his kingdom. And then the fourth thing that we mentioned is the binding of Satan when Jesus comes in his revelation and is getting ready to set up his kingdom. Satan will be bound and confined to the bottomless pit for the duration of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on earth. That's where we stopped, and so I'll continue from that point. Number five, the judgment of the Jews. Now, the Jewish people are God's chosen people. And by the way, that is still true today. There are people, some of them you probably hear on the radio or the TV, who believe a thing called replacement theology, which is not true. In other words, what they believe is that all of the promises that God made to the Jews, for example, in the Old Testament, that when they rejected the Lord Jesus when he came the first time, the Lord rescinded the promises he'd made to them, and then the promises that he made to Israel have now become for the New Testament church. In other words, what it amounts to is you can't trust what God said. He may say one thing and mean something totally different according to that. They're totally wrong. There is no replacement theology. God meant exactly what he said, and every promise that he made will come true. Notice in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is a prophetic chapter, but it deals with the Jews. It does not deal. The New Testament church went out in the rapture. I'm talking about the true church, the church composed of saved people, went out in the rapture. So they're not in discussion here. When he talks about the elect in Matthew chapter 24, he's talking about the Jews, or in some cases he may be talking about people who get saved in the tribulation. There'll be a great revival that'll take place amidst all of the suffering of the tribulation. But I want you to see one verse, Matthew 24, verse 31, and it says, it's talking about when he comes back, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. His elect in that verse is talking about the Jewish people who lived through the tribulation period and were still alive when he returns at the end of it. Now, go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20. Ezekiel, chapter 20. And it gives us a description somewhat of this judgment of the Jews. Ezekiel chapter 20, and we'll begin with verse 33 and read down through verse 38. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So this judgment, Christ tells us here, that the Jewish people who survived the tribulation period and will still not submit to Christ will be purged out of the nation. They won't be allowed to enter the land for the kingdom. They'll be purged out of the nation and sent to hell. Those who submit to Christ and receive him at that point will enter the millennial reign of Christ. Now, this is what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 11 and verse number 26, when he said, "And so all Israel shall be saved." Once he purges out the rebels, all Israel that is left will be saved at that time. That's at the revelation. Then number six will come, the what's known as the judgment of the nations or the Gentiles. The word translated nations is also translated Gentiles, and in fact, it's also translated heathen in the Bible. But the judgment of the nations, go to Matthew chapter 25. Now, because there, and I'll have one study where we'll deal just with the judgments, and we'll say more probably about this at that time, but I want you to see what it is. Some people get this confused with the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20, and they're not the same. They're not held the same place. They're not held at the same time. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, we'll read down through the end of the chapter. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Now that tells you when it's going to be, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with the holy angels and sits on the throne of his glory, the throne of his father David. In verse 32, he said, "And before him shall be gathered all nations," all the Gentiles, "and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." Now, understand, this is called the judgment of the nations. That doesn't mean that God's going to say, "Okay, all you folks from Mexico, come here. Get through with that. And then all you folks from the United States, come." That's not the idea. It is an individual judgment. Again, if you simply remember that the word nation simply means Gentiles, it's an individual judgment of individual Gentiles. And so it said he divides them, the sheep from the goats, the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand," the sheep, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So here we have the Gentiles who survived the tribulation. Now, understand from what the book of Revelation says, it appears to me that more than half of the population of the world will die during the tribulation period. I don't believe that we have any idea of how terrible that period of time is going to be. But the Gentiles who do survive the tribulation are judged in the passage according to their treatment of the persecuted Jews during the tribulation. Jesus talked about three different groups in this passage. He talked about the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left hand, and what he refers to in verse 40 as my brethren. Now, my brethren, that refers to his brethren according to the flesh, Jewish people. And so those who were saved will have ministered to the Jews in that awful period of time and will enter the millennium. Those who were not saved will not have ministered to the suffering Jews and will be sent to hell. Number 7, the millennial reign of Christ. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Somebody says, well, where does the Bible say Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years? Well, it says it probably half a dozen times or so just in this passage right here in Revelation chapter 20. But notice verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There's that 1,000 years. This time period is also called the kingdom age. The word millennium comes from two Latin words meaning 1,000 years. That's how long Christ's reign on earth will last. Then it will merge into the eternal kingdom of God. But during this 1,000-year millennium, the kingdom promises made to Israel in the Old Testament, that's when they'll be fulfilled during that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Number 8, the loosing of Satan. If you were listening, you may remember that I mentioned that when the Lord returns in his revelation, that Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit. But after the millennium, he'll be loosed for a little season. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years, there's that 1,000 years again. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Many people, those Christians who survived the tribulation, will have entered the millennium in their natural bodies and will bear children. Are you listening? That's important. So the people who survived the tribulation period and the Lord allowed them into the kingdom because they had ministered to the Jews during the tribulation, those people will go into the kingdom in their natural bodies and will bear children. These children, since they're born to people still in their natural bodies, will inherit a sin nature and will therefore need to be born again. While they outwardly submit more or less to Christ during his rule, they still have wicked, unconverted hearts. When Satan is loosed from his prison, multitudes of these unconverted people will follow him in one final rebellion in which they'll be destroyed once and for all. Number 9, the casting of Satan into the lake of fire. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They were cast in 1,000 years earlier, but they're still there 1,000 years later. Where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I bet the devil doesn't like that verse. So the casting of Satan into the lake of fire, and I take, the Bible doesn't say this, but I take it that at the same time the devil's cast into the lake of fire, that all of his demons, what Jesus referred to in Matthew 25 as his angels, the devil and his angels, which he said hell was prepared for, I take it that all the demons, along with the devil, will be cast into the lake of fire at the same time. Maybe I can finish. Number 10, the judgment of the unsaved at the great white throne. This is one of the most terrible scenes in all of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now understand, at that time, the end of the millennium, only unsaved people are dead. Saved people have already been resurrected. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So the Lord's going to have books of works and the book of life there. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death, that's where the body is, and hell, that's where the soul is, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. They had rejected the blood of Christ as a payment for their sins, so they have to answer for their own works and pay for their own sin. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All of the unsaved are raised from the dead, and their souls called out of hell. Body and soul are reunited, and they stand before God to be judged according to their works. degrees of punishment are meted out, and all are cast into the lake of fire forever. Number 11, the renovating of heaven and earth. Now, we'll come back to Revelation 20 in just a minute, but for right now, I want you to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. The renovating of heaven and earth. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, he had been talking about, like up in verse 5, how that the heavens and earth are here because of the word of God. God said, in fact, you read in Genesis chapter 1, the expression, and God said 10 times. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be a firmament between the waters, and it was so. God said, and so in all of the 6 days of creation, it all took place because God said, let this happen, and it happened. And so, but the heavens, the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I've always appreciated that part where it said the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Somebody said, you believe in the Big Bang? Yeah, I believe in it. You just got it at the wrong end of things. That's not how we began, but that is how it's going to end. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And so, what we just read there about the Big Bang, the great noise that's going to finish up the heavens and the earth. Now, in connection with that, go back again to Revelation chapter 20. We read this verse a while ago in connection with the great white throne judgment, but you may have missed one phrase that I want you to see in verse 11. John said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. Now, look what it says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There goes the earth and the heaven. And then you get to chapter 21, verse 1, John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Peter talked about that, didn't he? For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And so then, the heavens and the earth as they now exist will be renovated by fire. The curse that was placed on creation when Adam fell will be totally removed. Number 12, the relocating of the New Jerusalem. Again, Revelation chapter 21, and we'll read verses 2 and 3. We read verse 1 where John talked about the new heaven, new earth. But then he says in verses 2 and 3, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The heavenly city, New Jerusalem, is located right now in the third heaven, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the third heaven. That immediately around the earth, where the clouds are and where the birds fly, is the first heaven. We call it the atmospheric heavens. Then the second heaven is what we call the stellar heavens, where the sun, moon, and stars are. Then out beyond that, beyond the farthest star, is the third heaven, and that's where this heavenly city is right now. But after the heavens and the earth are renovated by fire, the New Jerusalem will be brought down in close proximity to the new earth. It may come all the way down and rest on the new earth, or as some think, that it'll be something like a satellite city that'll be a little bit above the earth, but in close proximity to it. And then number 13, the final thing, is the eternal state. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 5, And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. For eternity, God will rule in the midst of his people. Now, as best I can tell from studying the Bible, I don't know everything about the Bible, but some of it I know pretty good, and I've read all of it quite a few times, and as best I can figure out, this is the order in which things will happen. What we're looking for right now and are supposed to be always watching for is the rapture. It's imminent. It could happen at any time. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. We just know that it's going to happen because Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again. And he will come again and receive us unto himself. Call us right up, you see. And we'll break some of these things down a bit more in weeks to come. God bless you.